Heavenly Father, we do want to lift up our country to you. Father, you know and we know that we need you. Without you, we can do nothing. Father, this country was founded on seeking you, on wanting to have a place where we could actually worship you. And Lord, we've gone so far from that. Our nation, our kids are even being taught that that's not why this country was founded. Father, may you do a work in our nation. May you grant us repentance. We need repentance, Lord. We need you. We cry out to you, Lord. Please, please heal our land. Please, Father. And for those families of the officers that were killed in Dallas, we lift them up to you. We pray, Father, that you would comfort them and that they would turn to you in this time. And Father, for those officers that are still recovering from their wounds, Lord, we pray that you would give them a speedy recovery and that they themselves would seek you in this time, that you would cause this, Lord, to be a wake-up call to them, that they would turn their eyes to you. Father, may you help us, help our nation to turn to you. We need you, Lord. And Father, this morning, we want to turn our hearts to you as well. Help us to hear you. Help us, Father, to hear what you would say to us today. Because without you, we can do nothing. Lord, we need you, and we pray that you would speak to us now through your word by the power of the Holy Spirit. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of today's teaching is The Parable of the Soils. Now, if you're not familiar with parables, parables are fictitious stories using some well-understood fact or facts to illustrate or explain a spiritual truth. And today we'll consider the parable that Jesus gave about the different types of spiritual soil. Jesus often used parables to teach his followers, and those wanting to understand could grasp what truths Jesus were teaching them as he illustrated those teachings by using things that they were very familiar with. And here, the different soils representing the different hearts of people, we'll see that Jesus sowed or planted the exact same seed into each of the souls. But because of the soil, not the seed, there were very different results. So let's go ahead and start now. Verses 1 and 2 of Matthew 13. It says, on the same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the sea, and great multitudes were gathered together to him, so that he got into a boat and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. Now, right off the bat, you see, the same day as what? Well, same day as what we just read last week when we saw Jesus cast out that demon out of the guy, and then the Pharisees attributed that power that Jesus had to cast out the demon. They attributed that power to Satan. And then also, he was teaching after that in a house, and it was real crowded, and his mom and his brothers came to get him. Somebody went in and said, hey, your mom and your brother's out there. And that's when he said, well, who's my mom? Who's my brother? I'll tell you who. The ones that hear the word of God and do it. You know. And so it's that same day, and there's still all of these crowds. So Jesus goes into a boat and goes off just a little bit, you know, from the shore, and he's using that natural kind of amphitheater effect. You guys have noticed that before, right? Have you ever been standing on the shore of a lake and people are out on a boat talking? You can hear what they're saying, even though they might be in the middle of the lake. My wife and I were fishing one time from the shore, and there was this couple out in this boat, middle of the lake, man, we could still hear what they were arguing about. Pretty funny. They would have been embarrassed if they would have known that. So here he gives them the parable in verses 3 through 8. Then he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside. And the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on stony places where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on ground on good ground and yielded a crop, some of 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Now, that's the parable. Who's it directed to? Like in verse 9. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. So basically, everyone hearing him. Everyone there, and folks, everyone here right now. That's who Jesus is speaking to, every one of us. I like the way the NET Bible, the New English Translation, words verse 9. The one who has ears had better listen. And you know, when you hear this whole thing and what it all is about, oh yeah, we better listen. Look at verse 10 now. And the disciples came and said to him, why do you speak to them in parables? Now that's a good question, right? You would think that Jesus would want everybody hearing him to really get it, right? To really understand what he's saying to them. Well, in verse 11, he answered, said to them, because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. So he reminds us of what we saw Wednesday night when we were in 1 Peter chapter 1, the whole doctrine of divine election. And we saw Peter tell the believers in verse 2 that they and we are elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. And we saw Wednesday night and illustrated here that with these different soils representing different people, that God knows what we'll do with what he gives to us. And that's real important. In verse 12, for whoever has, to him more will be given, and he will have abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Now that's kind of a difficult concept, but it's actually something that Jesus teaches elsewhere. He talks about that, that somebody that has, you know, a little bit or whatever, that actually that might be taken away from them. And immediately, most of you probably thought about the parable of the talents. Remember that when Jesus really, speaking of himself, the master, he uses this parable to say this master gave to his servants different amounts of money. And that's what talent was. A talent was a measurement of money. And to one guy he gave 5 talents, to another guy he gave 2 talents, and to yet another guy he gave only 1 talent. And then the master left for a far country for a long time, and then when the master returned, the guys that had the 5 talents and the 2 talents actually doubled their money for the master. They were wise with it, but, well, when they did that, their master commended them and rewarded them, but it wasn't that way for the guy with only 1 talent. In Matthew 25, verses 24 through 30, Jesus said, then he who had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown, and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid, and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. But his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown, and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own with interest. So take the talent from him, and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So this is a recurring concept that Jesus taught about giving more to the one who has, those people who received from the Lord, and then did what he or she was supposed to do with what was given to them. And removing what little one had that refused to do what they should have done with what God gave to them. So Jesus continues now in verses 13 through 15. He says, therefore, I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled. which says, hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn so that I should heal them. I believe the key to understanding that passage is in verse 15, where it says, their eyes they have closed. You see that? That was of their own volition. They did that. God didn't do that. They chose to close their eyes. They didn't want to see. They didn't want to hear. Just like as in Isaiah's time, that there were people that didn't want to hear, at this time where Jesus was teaching, there were people hearing Jesus, like those religious leaders we saw last week. They didn't want to hear. They had no intention to heed his warnings or obey his teachings or follow him. They were listening, they were hearing, it was falling on their ears, but they had no intention of taking it in and responding to it in the right way. This, withholding more information from those types of people, folks, is an act of mercy on God's part. Do you know that? It's actually an act of mercy. Because, see, we're going to be judged according to what we know. We're going to be held responsible for what we know and how we respond, how we do with what we know. Jesus said in Luke 12, verses 47 through 48, and that servant who knew his master's will and did not prepare himself or do according to his will shall be beaten with many stripes. But he who did not know, yet committed things deserving of stripes, shall be beaten with few. For everyone to whom much is given, from him much will be required, and to whom much has been committed, of him they will ask the more. See, we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Every one of us has sinned. And all those who reject Jesus as their Lord, as their Savior, because he's the only one who's died and paid for their sins, everyone who rejects Jesus will suffer eternal punishment. But the more they understood, the worse that punishment will be. And so it is an act of mercy on God's part that Jesus speaks in parables and doesn't let everyone know exactly what he's talking about, because he knows, in his foreknowledge, he knows that there will be people that will die in rejection of him. And so out of his mercy, he holds back that which they would be more accountable for. Now he goes on in verses 16 and 17 and says, but blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For assuredly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. See, the disciples, they were listening and they were paying attention. Now, they didn't always understand, did they? Sometimes you wonder, guys, come on, really? You know, it's like 12 Three Stooges that he's traveling around with sometimes. They just didn't get it, but they wanted to. See, God knew their heart. They wanted to get it, and so they would come and they would ask, like this right here. You know, and also here, you know, that we see something that we saw Wednesday night, that many of the Old Testament prophets and saints wanted to hear. They wanted to see and hear the Messiah, but they didn't. And think about that for a minute. How blessed are we? Folks, think about that. We can hear the very words of the Messiah. We can hear the very words of our Savior, Jesus Christ, anytime we want. All we got to do is open the Bible and start reading. That's the very Word of God. All Scripture is breathed out by God. So anytime you want to hear from God, just open your Bible and He'll speak. It's His Word. Now, verse 18, he says, therefore, hear the parable of the sower. So now Jesus will explain the parable of the soils to them and to us. Verse 19, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who receives seed by the wayside. Now, some of your Bibles, where it says wayside, may have it translated as highway or path or road. It's kind of the concept that somebody is out planting a field and they're not being real careful, and some of the seed falls on the hard-packed road. Remember, there was no asphalt in their day, but we all have been on dirt roads that are packed so tight, packed so hard, that it might as well be concrete, right? It might as well be asphalt, because ain't nothing penetrating that stuff. It is so hard. Nothing's getting in. And that's what he's saying, is some of the seed goes on to that hard pack there. That seed is the word of the kingdom, he says, the gospel, the good news about Jesus, and they don't understand it. And to not understand the wording in the Greek, it not only means to not comprehend, but it also means to not consider or to not be wise. It's not just that they didn't get it at first, but that they were not wise in that they don't consider what's said in order to understand. They just let go, like so many people today. They've heard the gospel. They don't really comprehend it, but because their hearts are hard, they don't do anything further that would help them to get it, to help them to understand the gospel and be saved. Like seed on hard-packed road, it just sits there until the enemy comes and takes it. Now, verses 20 and 21, Jesus says, "But he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles." So this type of person hears the same word. It's the same seed, the gospel of Jesus. And the Lord says he receives it with joy. In other words, hey, sounds good. Yeah, I want to go to heaven. Sign me up. Yeah, hey, all right. But there's no root. Theirs is just a surface faith. There's no genuine, heartfelt response, no real conviction of sin, no dread of judgment to come before a holy, righteous God that would cause them to see the cross as their only hope. That's not happening with them. So when they experience some hardship, some persecution for being associated with Christ or with Christianity, it says he stumbles. Now, word's kind of interesting. The word in the Greek is scandalizo. It's where we get our word to scandalize. And that's what it says. And when he's persecuted, he's scandalized. He stops believing. That's, in fact, one of the Greek dictionaries just has that plainly. They cease believing. That's what that word means. In Luke's account of this same teaching that Jesus did, Luke uses a little bit different wording, which helps us to understand it even better. In Luke 8:13, "But the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, who believe for a while, and in time of temptation fall away." They believe for a while, but then they stop believing. They fall away. They're scandalized. Verse 22, "Now he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful." Now, this can be taken two different ways. This person, you know, the first way would, you know, he becomes a Christian, but he's caught up in the cares of this world and the pursuit of wealth, and never produces fruit, is never productive for the kingdom of God, displays none of the fruits of the Spirit. There's no growth there. He has spent all of his time pursuing these other things. Or what this can mean is that this person never really becomes a true Christian. That they hear the gospel, not opposed to it, can't believe it, you know, but like the stony ground, they mentally accept the concept of salvation in Christ. They're agreeable on that, but while the seed is germinating, the seed is choked out and killed by all the other pursuits in this person's life. And I really believe that that's what Jesus is meaning here. I believe this is correct. Why? Because the word choke in the Greek means to strangle completely, to suffocate, to choke utterly. One of the Greek dictionaries I was looking these words up in, the very first definition says to cause plants to die. And also, which leads me to believe the second way of understanding is how it's supposed to, because in the original language where it says he becomes unfruitful, the word he isn't there in the original language. It was supplied by the translators for readability. And literally, the riches choke the word and becomes unfruitful. Many other translations, I'm reading from the New King James Version, but if you have a different translation, instead of the word he, where it would imply that the believer becomes unfruitful, instead your Bible might say it, in meaning that the word that was sown, that seed that was sown, becomes unfruitful. It never comes to life. So what this means is that the person hears the word, they're not opposed to it, they kind of accept it, but before the word can grow and produce fruit, spiritual life, it's choked to death by all the other things that this person pursues above the gospel. I like the way the Amplified Version words verse 22. It says, as for what was sown among thorns, this is he who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the pleasure and delight and glamour and deceitfulness of riches choke and suffocate the word, and it yields no fruit. Verse 23, but he who receives seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some hundredfold, some 60, some 30. Now this too can be taken two different ways. The fruit produced can either be fruits of the Spirit, you know, those attributes or characteristics of a person's life that's been changed by the power of the Holy Spirit as they have received Christ and the Holy Spirit comes in and they become a temple of the Holy Spirit. God's working in them and changes their life and causes the fruits of the Spirit to grow, as it's listed in Galatians 5, 22 and 23. Where he says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Or this fruit can mean reproducing, sharing the same seed, the Word of God, with other people and seeing others born again into the kingdom of God. Like what Jesus was referring to in John 15, 16, when he told them, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. You understand that we're part of that fruit that remains? That as the disciples went out, he says that you should go. Another place he tells them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We're part of that fruit that remains. That they went out and they told somebody, and those people told people, and those people told people, and eventually it got to us. We're part of that remaining fruit. As that seed went out and grew. Colossians 1, 5 and 6 talks about the same thing. Because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which has come to you, as it has also in all the world, and is bringing forth fruit, as it is also among you since the day you heard and knew the grace of God in truth. Now, which did Jesus mean? I believe both. Because both are true. Both will happen in the life of a true believer of Jesus Christ, a believer that receives the Word of God as good soil and lets the Word of God grow deep down in there. And in fact, we're commanded to do that. In Colossians 3:16, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Which really brings us to the purpose of this parable. And yes, there is a purpose. Jesus did not tell us and them about these different types of soil in order for us to take some fatalistic conclusion. Like, well, I guess that's just kind of soil that I am. That's just the way God made me. I'm stuck. I'm bad soil. I'm thorny soil. I'm rocky soil. Just call me rocky, you know? That's the way I am. See, folks, this parable is actually a warning against being bad soil. Just like he commanded them in Colossians 3 to let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, we have a choice as to how we will respond to the word of God, whether we're good soil or bad. See, in each case, they received the same gospel, that same seed. But it's what they chose to do with the gospel that determines their soil type. The warnings that Jesus gives here, the warning for us is, be good soil when you hear the word of God. Do what you're supposed to do with it. We have the ability to use these parables to examine ourselves with, to kind of determine which soil we might be currently, and then with each type of bad soil that we might be, we have the word of God to tell us what to do about it. We don't have to remain bad soil if that's what we have been all of our lives. If any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. The old things have passed away, and behold, all the things have become new. But folks, we have our responsibility with what we do with what God gives to us. See, if you're like the wayside, if you hear the word of God but you don't understand it, and you haven't received Christ as your Savior because of that, you're not opposed to the gospel. You're not opposed to Jesus. You don't consider yourself an atheist, maybe an agnostic. Well, you know, I just don't have enough information. That's what agnostic means, without knowledge. And really, when you get into it, it's people that willingly are without knowledge. See, the seed's just laying there, waiting for the devil to take it away. If that's you, then Jesus is telling you, do all you can to understand the gospel. Don't let it just sit there. Eternity is at stake. In Matthew 7 and 8, Jesus said, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. And God says in Jeremiah 29:13, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. See, if you're unconvinced of your need for Jesus, then pray. Ask God to reveal Himself to you. Then seek Him with all your heart. See, you can go to the Word of God. You can open the Bible at home. You can read what He says to you. And you can respond to it. That's how I got saved. Some guy was telling me about Jesus at work, and I went home and I started reading the Bible. And after a few nights of reading the Bible, I got down on my knees because I realized I've sinned. I deserve hell because of my sin. But Jesus loved me so much, He died in my place. And if I put my trust in Him, I can be saved. Now, if yours is a surface faith, like the stony soil, there's no deep roots reaching down to where that life-giving nourishment comes from. You look at other Christians, maybe, and you look at them and say, man, I wish I had faith like that. I wish I'd grow like that. Well then, folks, I tell you, get rooted. Dig deep. Understand how we have spiritual life. Understand that being a Christian isn't about accepting a bunch of facts. It's not about joining a religion. That's not what it's about. It's about a relationship with the living God through His Son, Jesus Christ, who is God the Son, who's come down from heaven, born of a virgin, so that He could die in our place to pay for our sins. It's about a relationship with Him. That's what it's about. Not a bunch of do's and don'ts, not a system or whatever. See, what you need to understand is that we follow a person, not a system. That's why when people stopped following Jesus, remember, He said some hard things, and a lot of people left, and Jesus turned to the disciples, and He said, do you also want to go away? In John 6:68, but Simon Peter answered Him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. See, Peter didn't say, well, Lord, this is the best system going right now, so we're going to stay. They didn't say, well, you know, we're kind of happy with our religion, this whole thing that you've cooked up here. You know, we'll hang out. You know, we'll hang with you for a while. It was about a relationship with a person. We called him Lord. And he said, you have the words of eternal life. It's all about Jesus. All about hanging with him, about the relationship that they could have with him and that they had with him. See, they believe what Jesus said in John 14, 6, when he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. They believe that. And if you don't have enough information to be convinced of that, to trust Jesus, well then get the information. Seek him. Prayerfully read the Bible because it has the information you need. But if you're like the soil with all the thorny weeds, it just seems you never bear fruit, then, folks, it's just this easy. Pull the weeds. Get rid of them. Don't be like the rich young ruler. Remember the guy that came to Jesus? And he had it all. And he was wealthy. Nothing wrong with being wealthy, but when your wealth has you, there's a problem there. And Jesus, knowing his problem was his wealth had him. His wealth, man, was everything. That was it. That's what he really pursued. That's the weeds in his life, the thorns in his life. Jesus, knowing this, told him what he needed to do was to go and sell everything that he had, give it all to the poor, and then come follow him. Again, getting back to that whole thing of the relationship with a person. Come, follow me. Well, the young man went away sad because he knew he couldn't serve two masters, just as Jesus said in Matthew 6:24. He says, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Mammon is just another way of saying money. You can't do it. See, if your walk with the Lord is being choked by all those things Jesus talked about, then today, make a commitment to decide now to forsake every other pursuit and follow Jesus. When asked what was the most important commandment, Jesus answered, which really speaks to this whole concept. In Mark 12:30, Jesus said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. So that's the most important commandment. Folks, understand, we can all be good soil. All of us. Nobody has to stay bad soil. It's what we do that affects what soil type we are. And I believe the question that God would ask each and every one of us today is, what will you do with the seed that God has planted in you? Let's stand and pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the seed that you plant into each and every heart on earth. Father, I pray right now for all of us. Father, that all of us would take this warning seriously. And Lord, if there's things that we're offended by, if there's things that choke us out, if there's things that we don't understand that's keeping us from you, Father, reach in our hearts and help us, Lord. Get rid of those things. Lord, help us. Give us the strength to get rid of those things. Lord, give us the wisdom to get rid of those things, that we wouldn't be foolish, but instead we would be wise and heed your word, that we would draw near to you. And Lord, you said when we do, you would draw near to us. Father, help us. Help us to be good soil. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.